Eden, again, a very simple thought, and it was born out of Brother Brad's presentation Wednesday evening, and some events that have happened this week. And the first passage that we're going to read here in just a moment is just one of many about you and I spending time with the Lord. Eden, again, is from the idea, if you will, as Brother Brad shared the gospel, he walked them from the very beginning, the creation, and then the garden, Adam and Eve, the fall, and the such. And I guess you could say, by happenstance, from a human standpoint, but from the eternity past counsels of God, I had already went through this several hours previous to that Wednesday night. So this was all fresh to me as I was sharing the gospel with Jonathan, Allison's fiancé, Allison Henson's fiancé. And I got a text Monday, "Brother Ben, I know it's last minute, I know you're busy, but is there any way you could meet with Jonathan and I this week?" And so as I inquired as to, you know, sure, but help me understand what's going on here, she said, "Jonathan's not sure he's saved, and he wants to talk to somebody about getting saved." I said, "I'll clear my calendar. We'll do whatever we got to do. You tell me when." And we set it for Wednesday at 1. And so I had already went through the gospel presentation from Adam and Eve on with Jonathan, and then that evening for Brad to do that, all of that fresh in my heart and mind and the events that I'm going to share here in a moment, I just thought the thought, can we have it again? What Adam and Eve had before the fall, can we have that again? So, Eden again. And of course, in my humble opinion, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, the answer is a resounding yes. We can absolutely, now, and young people, you're going to have to hang with me just for a moment, and I'm talking about really young people, okay? Because young people think in the concrete. If I say I love lasagna, they think I want to marry it. And if it were possible, sure, you know. But it's an abstract thought to say I love lasagna. And so I'm talking about Eden again in the abstract thought. The principles that were in play in Eden, we can still have them today because of Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. And we're, in just a moment, we're going to work through what was there, what was present. What were the principles that were there in Eden? What did God want for Adam and Eve to experience with him and the such? So, as I was working through that, and the next morning, Thursday, in the office, I just, you know, typed it out. And so we're going to work through that here in just a moment. But the first thought was fellowship. Fellowship. God wants you and I to fellowship with him. They met with him in the cool of the day. So in the evening. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, blast it, Brother Ben. Why do you preachers always beg us to have a quiet time early in the morning? I'd much rather get up at, you know, 7 p.m. and have my quiet time then. I get it. I get it. Well, since the fall, the Lord knows we need to meet with him early. We need to just go ahead and get centered. That's what I call it. Centering with God. So in the garden, it might have been acceptable before the fall to just meet with God in the evening in the cool of the day. Well, after the fall, you can't find a verse that necessarily supports an evening quiet time. Now, I want to encourage you, if that's the only time you got, do it. Get her done, okay? But I'm going to share with you some verses here that certainly indicate earlier the better. I always loved the missionary wife that said, if God would have wanted me to see the sunrise, he'd have scheduled it later in the day. I get it. I really do. But God wants to meet with you. That's why he created Adam and Eve. He wanted fellowship. Please hear me, church. God doesn't need anything, but he wanted fellowship with his creation. He still wants it. with everyone under the sound of my voice and every person that's got a heart beating. He wants fellowship with them. Stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. We have here in Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is referring to the fellowship between God and man. And David cries out, I've made my choice, God. You are my God. Not anything else in this world. I'm not allowing anything else to be lifted so high that I worship. You are the center of my worship. Therefore, early will I seek thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Church, please hear me. We all know this, but it is a daily battle. This world holds nothing for you on a satisfying level. Now, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. When we put God in his proper place, there's a lot of things that are satisfying. We can take satisfaction from a beautiful green yard. We can take satisfaction from a beautifully trimmed garden. We can take satisfaction and fill in the blank in a long drive on the golf course. Hopefully you're not on a par three and such. Those are the only times I can get a long drive on a par three, and I don't need it on a par three. So now I'm hitting back towards the green. Some of you will get that. But nonetheless, the satisfaction in this world comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. And as you and I seek him early, we will absolutely find fellowship. Now, I heard fellowship defined way back in college. Two fellows in the same ship. Well, who else do you want in your ship besides God? I mean, we got to start there. Get him in the boat early. And he's waiting. He's waiting for you to canoe up to him and he'll step in type thing. And you and I were created for fellowship. Eden again starts with you and I starting with God early every day. Fellowship. Let's hear these verses real quick. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction doesn't seem light very right now, does it? $4.89 a gallon? Doesn't seem light. Our economy tanking? Doesn't seem light. Supreme Court justices being threatened to be assassinated? Doesn't seem light. But please hear me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You see, you're really not supposed to have your eyes on those gas prices. God will take care of that. You're not supposed to have your eyes on what's going on. I mean, I'm not saying you're not to be aware. You must be aware, but you must not keep your focus there. Every time you see those, that should be your prompting to keep your focus on God. God, I know you've got this. I'm trusting you. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. My dad, don't borrow trouble, son. Amen. Don't borrow trouble. Sunday, June the 12th, has enough issues. You don't need to be worrying about the 13th. Let's concentrate right here, and let's fellowship with the Creator, and let's make sure that we know that he has all things under control. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Church, we try to doll ourselves up before we get into the throne room. No, come without makeup. Come in your naked self, if you will, and you stand before God and tell God, I know that you've got this. You know that I don't have any of this. I am completely dependent upon you today. I love what S.M. Lockers says. A prayerless life is our declaration of independence from God. A prayerful life is our declaration of dependence upon God. And we all know where we need to be. We need to daily declare our dependence upon God. Every command, he says in Deuteronomy, every command which I command you today to the children of Israel, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Church, we may be getting ready as a nation to go through the wilderness. God can do for us what he did for Israel. He did it to Israel to humble them, to test them, to know what was in their heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Church, God doesn't need anything that he's done in the past to make a way for you today. He can come up with something brand new. He's God. He might make, so that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper when you have eaten and are full. Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You see, all we see right now is scarcity. All we see right now is hardship. I'm telling you, if this nation sees revival, we won't be able to imagine what he has for us. Beware, he says. This is Moses now talking. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you. Church, we need to pass the test. And the only way to pass the test is to have fellowship with God, to keep his commandments, to do what he says do. Now you might think, why would Brother Ben read such a lengthy passage? Because the next passage is the New Testament. In Matthew 4:4, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he answered and said, it is written, I'm sorry, he's talking to the devil when the devil's tempting him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is not just Jesus quoting a cute little verse. This is Jesus standing on the absolute same foundation that Moses was standing on. And Jesus is saying to the devil, the only way for me to be blessed is to follow the God of the blessing. And you can promise and offer me anything you want to, devil. I'm living by the bread of life. So church, yes, things are getting scarce. Yes, it may not be the full buffet that we have had in the last whatever 100 years, if you and I keep the main thing, I've never seen the righteous begging bread. God's going to take care of us. But we've got to absolute have Eden again in our lives on a daily basis, and it starts with fellowship. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And listen to me, church, please hear me. I know that most of us, when we look at that, we think, oh, sure, we need to ask God for things. We need to seek him for things. And yes, there is a time for that. But in the context of this message, we need to ask the Lord to open up to us the avenues of his relationship with us that we've never seen before. We need to ask the Lord to make exciting in our lives once again the love life that he always intended for us. We need to fall in love with Jesus. And please hear me, I'm not saying that we're not. I'm not. I'm just saying there's always room for improvement. And I know there is in my life. A couple more verses. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know where you're at. I hope and pray that when you come on Sunday that you're excited. I hope and pray that you are looking forward to what God has for you, because I believe that's how it ought to be. But we have not because we ask not. And so I want you to start tomorrow for next Sunday. And on Tuesday, I want you to ask it again. And on Wednesday, I want you to ask again. I want you to ask God to prepare every element of that service next Sunday for you type thing and for the people that are going to be here. I want you to ask God to make it so that no one will believe or think that a human came up with it. This is God moving and working in this church. We must believe that he can do that. So, in closing, on point number one, it's the longest point of the sermon, so relax. Because I know your Lord help. I hope he only has 3 points. Just relax. We got done before the time at first service, if you can believe that. First thing, fellowship with God. First thing. I'm going to confess to you that because of these blasted phones, and it's not really because of the phone, it's because of the person that has the phone, but you know what I'm saying. In the recent past, my quiet time with God has not been the first thing. But it can be, and it should be. I'm asking your church to join me. If you're already doing it, again, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. If you're not, I'm asking you to start it tomorrow. First thing every day. With sincerity, all day occupation, all day joy. What the world does that mean? I've shared with you recently that in December at the prayer retreat with the associational leaders, the Holy Spirit drew the line with me. He drew the line with me with my quiet time. And he said, Ben, you're faking it. You've been doing it for a while. You're mailing it in. You're just reciting words. You've fallen into vain repetition. And boy, it laid me out, because he was right. 100% right. I'd gotten my quiet time down to about a minute and a half. I could just pray it through, check that off, and go. That's not what God's looking for, church. That's not fellowship, church. And so I repented there at that prayer retreat, and by God's grace, there's only been a few days since December that I have fallen back into that. And it's something every day that the Lord draws the line with me. And one of the things that I had done, you know, the definition is from Henry Blackaby on worship, that I would recite in my prayer time. Worship is the response of an adoring heart to the magnificence of God. In the highest sense of the word, it's the occupation of the created with the creator. It's the pure joy of knowing that you worship the one whose name is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if I wasn't careful, that's exactly how I'd do it. Well, now, you had to get on your horse to keep up with me, because I can talk pretty fast. That's not what God's looking for. And so I had to slow down. And I have basically quit reciting that to God. God knows that. Instead, I have turned it into 3 asking prayers. Father, help me today to be on the lookout for your monumental magnificence and works, and help me to respond to that with an adoring heart. Help me, Father, to come to that pinnacle of the word occupation of the created with the creator. Help me today, Father, to absolutely know the joy of knowing that I'm worshiping the one whose name is above every other name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Now, I want you to hear my heart, church. What I'm fixing to say is not out of spite, hate, or anything else. It's the truth. And I don't care who you put in this slot, Joe Biden, Donald J. Trump, fill in the blank. They will bow before God someday. And they will become a gospel preacher. And they will say, Jesus, you are Lord. That's what the Bible says. Now, I happen to believe that they will not do that out of coercion. I believe once they see the raw power of God, they will do it out of sincerity and humility. I believe it. Watch this. It won't change anything for them, though. If it takes them seeing the raw power of God after He has judged them to eternal damnation, even though it's wonderful that the Word of God will come, if you will, prophetically true, it is not beneficial for them. It's only beneficial if you and I do it on this side of the grave. And every one of us, we know the pure joy of seeing the bleeding, dying form of Jesus by faith. And we know the pure joy of humbling ourselves because of our sin. And we've claimed that Jesus is our Lord. That's how you want those guys to do it. There ain't nobody I want to go to hell. Fill in the blank. I don't want nobody. And so the fellowship, you see, the fellowship is the main. Eden, again, must start with fellowship. Point number two, companionship. Of course, this is referring to Adam and Eve. However, in our post-garden experience, this companionship is not limited to spouses, but anyone who is like-minded. This companionship is greatest when it is centered and empowered by the other characteristics of Eden, which of course means the companionship will be focused on Christ. So I'm talking about, church, every one of us needs to ask God to help us to have, bring into our lives, for many of us, it is our spouses. For many of us, it is our extended family, friends, whatever the case may be. But we all need somebody that believes the same way we do, and we get along and go along together. We need companionship. We need each other. And I'm so thankful. If you are single, no matter of your life stage, God has a companion for you that believes the way you do, that is going the same direction that you are going. Now, please hear me. I'm not telling you that we shouldn't have lost connections in our life. We absolutely should. But those are not the people that we get our companionship from in the garden, if you will. Ooh, what's that? Yeah, you never take your eyes off. Something fun may happen. Yeah, I just almost broke a hip again type thing. Yeah, the same hip. Here we go. You ready? Work. Let me finish up point number two, though. So how do you be a good companion? Y'all know this. I've shared it with you many, many times. Do unto others. The companions that you have in your life, you need to do unto them as you would have them do unto you. And you're going to be the best friend ever type thing. And I know if we're not careful, we struggle. But Brother Ben, if I do that, they're going to take advantage of me. People love people that love people no matter what they can do for them or to them. We just need to love. We just need to love. Companionship is an abstract principle in the first garden that we can have in our garden every day. Eden, again, point number three, work. This is referring to the work of the garden itself. This is our purpose. This is why we are here. Now, this is where it gets really personal for Brother Ben, because it's been a tough week in some areas. I bought some cows. Bought some cows Tuesday evening. So plan to go pick them up on Wednesday evening. Now, y'all have all heard about the experience of cattle and or hogs or whatever in a trailer with a bad floor. It gives a whole new meaning to ground beef. Yeah, oh my goodness. I want to make it to my grave without ever having that experience. I really do. Well, Wednesday morning, I got to be at St. Charles at 1 o'clock. So we are at Cuba loading these cattle up. The first two get in, and I mean, it wasn't 40 seconds. One of them put his hoof right through the floor of that trailer. Brent Miller says, well, that ain't good. If you're in a horrible, horrific, super outlandish, you want Brent there. Because Brent isn't going to go, he's going to go, wow, that ain't look good. You want calm, cool, and collected. Andrew said, yeah, that ain't good. Tony went, whoa. And I'm like, get them out of here. Because we're not doing this. Lord, help us. Because my first thought, y'all know me, my first thought was, oh, we can put it back in place. No, you big idiot. Get those cows out of that trailer, fix the trailer, then come get them type thing. And then my next thought was, I'm going to have to call Jonathan and just tell him I'm going to have to reschedule. Because I got to get these cows out of here. And the Holy Spirit said, excuse me, you're going to talk to Jonathan about receiving me. And you're going to put cows? No, sir, I'm not. And I was able to tell Jonathan that day that there wasn't anything on this planet that was more important than me sitting down with him that day. And church, that's true. When you have a divine appointment, you have an opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord, there's nothing more important. Nothing more important. And Jonathan prayed to receive Christ that afternoon. And then that evening, we had 2 to 3 precious children pray to receive Christ. We haven't celebrated yet, so let's do that now. Not many things that you can say this phrase to and it be true, but that is truly what life is all about. Everything else we can do in heaven better. We can worship in heaven better. We can live a better life in heaven. We're not going to be struggling with sin, fill in the blank. We can sing better in heaven. But we're not going to win anybody to Christ in heaven. It's all going to be done. So, work. Eden again. Work. In church, it's been far too long since we've baptized anybody. It's been far too long since we've had someone walk the aisle. We need to ask God, what's going on? Lord, please send us folks that are ready. Send us out to find people and help them get ready. So, A, B, C, D, under work, holiness. The work in our garden is holiness. Holiness, church, brings authentication. It's one thing for you and I to sit up here and talk about having fellowship with the Lord. It's another thing when you're lying to people because you're living like the devil Monday through Saturday. That doesn't work, church. God takes that very seriously. Holiness, authentication, be soul winning, love. When you and I are striving to win somebody to Christ, we're showing our love. Church, I'm asking you, when's the last time you've asked the Lord to help you to win somebody to Christ? Let's try, every one of us, let's ask God for at least one this year per person. I believe God will bless that. See, discipleship equals obedience. You don't just win them to the Lord and walk away. That's a babe in Christ. You disciple them. You help them go to the next step. D, hunger. If you and I are being holy, if we're striving to share the gospel, and if we're helping them grow in their walk with Christ, guess what? You're going to be hungry when you show up on Sunday morning. You're going to be hungry. And you're going to be hungry through the week looking for opportunities to work for Christ. Number 4, fun. Fun happens along the road of living in Eden. Even though it was almost a very, very, very serious situation, me, Andrew, Brent, and Tony had a lot of fun talking about, Lord help, what might have happened. We had a lot of fun. And we joked and talked about it and the such. You know, you ever heard the thing of might as well laugh or cry, you know? And so you might as well have some fun. Church, listen to me. Fun can be orchestrated. Fun can be planned. I believe you and I, in our Eden, we need to plan some fun. We need to do some things together. And yes, work is fun, but fun along the way, daily distractions, laughing, if you will not take yourself so seriously, you will enjoy life more. How about fun on purpose? Need to take a vacation if you can. I know what you're saying. Brother Ben, not this year. Can't afford to travel. I get it. How about a staycation? Yeah. Have fun right where you're at. How about fun with margins? Have you built margins in your life? You need a daily margin. That could be your quiet time. You need a weekly margin. That could be a time out with your wife and kids. You need a monthly margin. You'd have to tell me what that would be for you. I know what it is for me. Depending on the season, it may be gardening. It may be hunting. It may be maple syrup. I've built in some margins. You need to build in some margins and have some fun. Five choices. There's a verse that absolutely scares me in Scripture. In Galatians, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap." Two things happened at that prayer retreat. I realized that I was mailing in my quiet time. And I also realized that I had gotten lax on an area of holiness. And not necessarily connected, but I heard the story of our then president of our association that had a catastrophic moral failure, lost his job, lost his position in the association. I do not know if he lost his family or not. Catastrophic moral failure. And again, God opened my eyes. You're just glossing over this. You're winking at this area in your life, and I'm not winking. I'm getting ready to correct. And hallelujah, made some changes. Where are you at? You see, in the garden, there were some choices for Adam and Eve. And it got them kicked out of the garden. And if we're going to have our Eden again, we need to make sure and stay away from those evil choices. And we need to make, and I'm convinced, I'm fixing to read it to you, but I'm convinced if you and I will make sure that we're fellowshipping with the Lord properly, we are companioning properly, we are working properly, that's going to do a lot to keep us from the bad choices. I really do believe that. Let me read it to you. Even though Eden again is the sweet spot of life, there is still danger here. And a stoppage or slacking of any of these areas increases and invites danger from our enemies, the devil, our flesh, and the world. Lastly, number six, continuance. Now, y'all ever, you know, you get an email and it looks really good and the guy is trying to sell you something, but he says it's free emails and such. And so you're like, well, yeah, you know, everything he's given here, I need some of. So you hit on it. And then for the next, you know, whatever, every day he's sending you these emails. Well, I got a guy like that. And the only reason I don't, you know, scrub it is because some pretty good stuff. And this week, this is what he sent out. I got it. Consistency is oftentimes greater than intensity. You ever heard how kids spell love? T-I-M-E. Consistency is often greater than intensity. We've all heard it. Maybe we've said it. Well, we try to give our kids quality time. Your kids would tell you what to do with that quality time. I want a lot of time is what they would say. I want quantity, but they can't say that. Instead, they go, where's Dad? Where's Mom? Are we going to do anything today? For our kids, it was, are we going to have a family night tonight? And the such. Consistency is oftentimes greater than intensity. You see, the Lord's not so concerned that you and Him go to the mountaintops Monday. He wants to see you all week. Can I get a witness? He wants to see you all week. Consistency is oftentimes greater than intensity. The Lord's not so much impressed with the notches in your belt of people that, quote unquote, you have won to the Lord. He wants to know, are you consistently asking Him for a new name type thing? Consistency is oftentimes greater than intensity. And it's so important that we try to recreate Eden by every day trying to recreate Eden. Will you stand with me, musicians? Every head bowed, every eye closed. One finger goes out, three come back. So I'm not trying to get on to anybody today. I've shared with you basically my struggles and what the Lord has helped and encouraged me to do, and some of the, if you will, victories as a result. Church, the best road to revival is winning people to Jesus. The best road to revival is discipling those people. The best road to revival is those people winning people and discipling them. If the churches of the United States of America make the main thing, we will see God bless this nation. Father, we ask you, if there's someone here and they do not know the free pardon of sin, that they will be saved today, for it's everlasting too late. We pray, Lord, that for all of us, that you would just put your loving finger on the areas that we need to improve upon in each of these areas. Fellowship, companionship, work. Are we hungry, Lord, for you? Are we consistently recreating these things? Are we having fun? Are we staying away from the evil choices in our life? Father, I pray that you'll just do your will and way in this altar time. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Will you come?